Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of On Point. I'm your host, Dr. J. Sometimes they call me the professor. We have a great show for you today. I hope everyone had a good week. This week, we're actually talking about the power of words. And I want to start off by saying a lot of times people say, sticks and stones break my bones, but, words never hurt me. And I always find that to be interesting because I think that we've all had that point in time where someone has said or done something that has hurt us. So what we're looking at today is, if words don't hurt us, why is it that we have our feelings hurt? We've been irritated by maybe something that someone has said, or even said something that we don't really agree with ourselves. We regret we had that long-lasting sorrow for something that we said. I know I've been in that position a couple of times. But what is it that gives power to words? Why do they hurt us? Can we measure them? Are they just sounds that we're making, sounds that come out of our mouths? There's something more to it. Some people believe that when words are spoken, they're out there in the universe and they never really fade out. So we're going to look at that. How do we heal someone with positive words? Do we uplift them? So we're going to explore the power of words, the positives, the pejoratives, as well as how we should handle and show deference to words in this segment, The Fringe, right here on Point. So I just want to start out by saying there was a quote by Rudyard Kipling, and he said, "Words, of course, are the most powerful drug used by mankind." And I think sometimes we as humans forget about that. You get into a relationship, a friendship, or whatever it is, and sometimes we say those things that sting. I know I've had somebody run me through with a knife, figuratively speaking, and I've done it as well, and I know I have a couple of them that I seriously, seriously regret. I wish I could take those back, but you can't. But what you can do is heal and uplift people with your words. And I know some of you are probably wondering, what's the big deal? Why are we talking about words? What is the big deal? Well, think about the last time somebody said something that hurt you. What happened? Why did it hurt? What effect did it have on you? What effect did it have on the person that said it? Did they mean to hurt you? I know I've been in arguments. We get caught up in the whole dramatic issue of winning the fight rather than actually putting our point or objectives out there. And I think that's very interesting because some people are like that. And I know I was like that when I was younger. When I was younger, that's exactly what I did. I tried to put the effort into winning the fight instead of, let's come to a common ground. Let's find a win-win. And even if we don't agree, how is it that we can maybe compromise a little bit? And I think that's some of the pieces that we miss. Now, just like there are negative words out there, there are absolutely beautiful words. Tonight on We're on Point on Radio Phoenix, we're going to go a little bit deeper into this, but I'm not sure if anybody here is familiar with Dr. Masaru Emoto, who did the experiments with the rice and also with the ice. And I'll go a little bit more in depth about that. But in essence, and the long and short is he labeled some items with, hey, you're good rice, we love you. You're bad rice, we hate you, and then the other one he didn't label at all. And then he went back a month later and inspected those, and it'll be very interesting to see, what comes out of that, because everyone thinks that the rice that had "we hate you" on it was the worst-looking rice, but it wasn't. It was the one that had no words at all on it. And that is, my meant to say, that was indifference. And a lot of people think that the opposite of love is hate. But he taught us that the opposite of love is indifference. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation such as that where maybe you're having a discussion with someone and mention to you whatever it is that initiates this fight, and then they shut you out. They basically turn their back on you. And what you do is you say to them, yell at me, scream at me, tell me you hate me, anything. that is one way to kind of maybe look at indifference. When people don't give you anything, when they're indifferent, that's much more deadly, much more harmful than them telling you that they're angry with you or perhaps that they hate you or whatever the case is. And I think that this is, it's something that we miss sometimes. And I think that we have to take a moment and look at that. You know, you have a lot of folks who put the whole thing of, you know, putting it out there in the universe, and they forget the power of those words. You know, a lot of people have said things like, well, I don't want this and I don't want that. And they talk about all the things that they don't want. But what those words are speaking out there into existence are those feelings that they're emoting at that time. Instead of saying what they do want, they're focusing on what they don't want. And the universe responds. I mean, some of you may not believe in that, or, you know, you have, you know, different perspectives and faith and things. I'm not challenging that. I'm just saying look at what happens when we do that. Think about how powerful your words are when we look at, like, say, for instance, the Pygmalion effect. When you tell yourself, hey, I don't want to knock this glass over, I don't want to knock this glass over, your words set into action, even subconsciously, certain things. And that's what happens. It knocks that over. It's the same as you tell someone, I don't want to hurt this person, or I don't want to do this, or, you know, I don't want to find this type of mate, instead of concentrating on what type that you do want to find. So I always found that it's a very interesting thing. We can go into and speak ad nauseum on their power. We really, really could. But I wanted to also talk a little bit about, you know, folks use words to tear folks down. We have all done it. I realized that as a parent, that my word choice was not necessarily what it should have been. And unfortunately, and fortunately, there was a very interesting incident that caused me to realize what my word choice was. And it involved my son. A few years back, I had a little house that I was renting, and I had thrown some weights in the garage, and I had ran a cable out to the television so I could watch TV out there while I, you know, tried to get a little workout. If you're familiar with Arizona, you know it gets pretty hot out there. But I'd raise the door and turn on this television, but the cable would basically lay it diagonally across my garage floor. So my thought process was take this cable, run it up through the attic of the garage, drop it down to where the TV was, and, you know, make it a little neater. I didn't think anything of it. Got up in the attic. I stepped on some wood that was there for support. I connected the cable to one of the junctions up there, and I started to run it to the other television. What I didn't realize is what else I thought was wood was actually drywall as the ceiling. And as I stepped, I fell through the ceiling. And I tried to catch myself, and I cut my hands up, my lat on the left side, got a blister, and I fell. But I was saved by my weight bench, or at least I thought I was, which caused me to fall backwards as my feet hit it. And then I fell down onto my treadmill. Now, I thought for sure I was a goner. I knew I was hitting my head on the cement. I just knew it was a done deal. Now, my son happened to be in the house with his grandmother. Now, at that time, he was 3 or 4. And there's been times he had hurt himself. And as a dad, you know, we choose our words very, I would like to say carefully, but maybe not always. But I'd always ask him, you know, what did you do? And my thought process was, if I ask him what he did, my next step would then be to fix it because I would have all the information that I needed. And that was just my tactic. Well, this particular time when I fell, I had been sweaty from being up in the attic. I was covered with a little bit of blood and sweat, and then the chalk from the drywall that had just shattered and that had fallen through and then what subsequently fell on top of me. I got up, dusted myself off, checked for injuries. there were a couple. And I slowly opened the door, and I started approaching my son and his grandmother. He saw me covered with chalk, sweat, and blood. And he looked at me, pushed me to the side, as he said to me, "What did you do?" And I was in the process of trying to ask, you know, hey, did anyone hear me fall through the ceiling? Did anyone hear that? No one. You know, wanted to check on me to see if, you know, something had happened. But I noticed what he said. And he said to me, "What did you do?" And I realized that was the word choice I always had with him. And it was at that moment that I realized that I had to stop asking, what did you do? And start asking, are you all right? When we say that words do or don't have power, that day I figured out that they did. Because I understood exactly how it feels to have someone ask you, what did you do, rather than, are you all right? And I think that's it's a very interesting situation to be in, because that caused me to change my parenting. I no longer went to, what did you do? Now, on occasion, I still fell into that. You know, that was my first thought, like, what did you do so I can fix it? But my first question to him now is, are you all right? And then I ask, what happened? And it's just, it's interesting how, you know, you grow, you develop, you change, you evolve, you know. And in some cultures, you don't ask the person who did this. Or I remember speaking with a friend of mine, and she had spent some time in a country in South America where she'd become exceptionally fluent in Spanish. And she said, in that culture, when something happened, you know, say, for instance, you go into a room and the lamp is broken, you don't ask who broke the lamp. You ask, how did it get broken? And though it's from a cultural perspective, it's still a word choice issue. And I think that we have to realize that how we choose our words determine what the heck happens after. And that is the thing, because if I ask you, did you break the lamp, versus how did the lamp get broken, one is assaulting you to a certain degree. One is asking what happened and gives you a chance to defend yourself. And I think that that's something that we have to really investigate and look at that. It's powerful. It's very, very powerful. When we look at words and we look at their power, we sometimes forget how those actually address people. So let me bring in, I have Lady Sincere on the line with me this morning. Lady Sincere, how are you today?
I'm good, and you, sir? How are you feeling this morning?
I am doing well. I was just speaking to everyone about the power of words and their influence on people. And sometimes we lift folks up and we tear them down with those word choices, and how words affect us. And sometimes we don't realize that effect that we have on someone, or what they say is going to have on us, until we, you know, we to hear it. And where I was going with that is, there is, I saw a little really neat clip on YouTube where someone spread salt out on a piece of metal and then adjusted the frequency. And based on the frequency, the salt changed patterns. Now, the reason why I bring that up is I'm talking about frequency and I'm talking about word choice. And I look at, your body is composed of salt and water. If I say something really horrible to you, I think that frequency resonates. And it can theoretically, I want to say theoretically, I think it can hurt you. Now, your self-concept may be a little stronger, so it doesn't. But what's your take on people using words to uplift and to tear down? Do you think they have a physical impact, something other than just a mental impact on someone?
I believe words can have a positive impact and a negative impact. It's something that's used every day, you know. Take, for example, how you have rappers, songwriters, artists who, you know, sing these songs and have an influence on our youth, our teenager, rather just to, you know, go buy this $1,000 car or these $200 shoes or pants. You know, I believe words have a definite influence, that's for sure. And when you were talking about how words transfer into energy, they do. When you speak words, it's transformed into vibrations, and then those vibrations have a direct energy towards you with the frequency and how they travel. So it's very deep of how words can influence others, you know what I mean, whether that's positive or negative. You want to influence you more positive than negative, of course. But words go back, and it goes back to God. When God created the world, he created the world with a word. You know what I mean? So it goes deep in understanding.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, and it's interesting. My aunts used to say they get bad vibes from someone. I've got bad vibes from people. That's why I mentioned the thing about the frequency. I think that it's not just what we say, but the frequency at which it's said, or sometimes horrible words create maybe bad frequencies. Because you talked about, like, how the kids are influenced by certain people. Now, I'm of the mind that if your kids are being influenced by someone other than the parents, that you're probably not parenting properly. Hold on, we have someone join us. Good morning. You're on with Blog Talk. Who do we have?
Good morning. My name is Danielle. How are you this morning?
I am well, Danielle. Good. Thank you for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
What do you have for us today?
You know, you have a good subject matter this morning, and I was listening to you and Lady Sincere, but the whole time, and both of you are absolutely correct, but the whole time I was thinking about something that I read in the Word, and not to get all religious on you and all of that, but it speaks directly to what your subject is today. And that is the book is James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. And he speaks exactly about what you're speaking of. He says, even though the tongue is a little member and it can boast of great things, see how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who were made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth came forth blessing and cursing. These things, my brethren, ought not be so. So basically, we can lift people up or we can tear people down. And we can bring it. We can bring it all the way to the present. That's the reason why in the book of law, we have libel suits and defamation suits. That tongue, that thing in your mouth can destroy people or it can build people. It can destroy children or it can build children. You ever met a child who ever told you all he ever heard from his mother or his father is, you ain't this, you ain't that, you ain't never going to be, you know, you don't have it, you don't have it in you, I hate you, this, that. I'm not saying the child can't succeed, but he has a very hard time doing it because the very person that was supposed to love him is the very person that tore him down. And we can go on and on and on, but that's right there in that Bible that, you know, people say God don't exist. It's right there in that Bible. I just read it to you, and that's what you're talking about this morning, the power of words.
We thank
Perfect.
You for that.
And, you know,
we really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your call. And Patrice, if I could get on to what Danielle said, I think it's very interesting you brought up, you know, a parent tearing someone down. You know, I consider myself a relatively hard worker, and, you know, I try to keep myself busy with a lot of different projects and the things that I do. And I had someone ask me one time, why do I do so much? And the reason why is it's what you just said. Someone once told me I couldn't. And it goes back to words. This is me personally, and I'm going to share something very personal with the audience today, is when I was 14, my mother put me on a bus. And she was dropping me off at basically a group shelter. And the last words that she had for me is she said, you know, you'll probably never amount to anything, and most likely you'll end up somewhere on the corner selling drugs. And I remember the feeling that I had when she said that. My heart just dropped in my chest. I mean, she broke my heart.
Yeah,
but on the flip side, what she did, well, she gave me a drive and the fire that cannot be quenched by anybody, anything on this planet. So I heard what she said, and I went off and I did my thing. I started out and worked at a little restaurant. I joined the military. I got out of the military. I went into computers. Then I became a chef. And then I went to school and more school and more school and more school and until I reached a goal. And during that time, folks asked me, why don't you quit? I'm like, because that's what I was expected to do. I was supposed to be a statistic. You know, I grew up in the foster care system from 6 to 8, went back home to my folks, and then left again at 14 back into the foster care system. But my thing was, it's easy for you to hear the words and say, you know what, the system owes me, the man owes me, whatever, and call it quits. Me, I went the opposite direction. I flipped it and said, hey, look, I'm not going to call it quits. And I've had drive ever, you know, just me personally. Everybody has their own story, and I'm not saying mine is more important or more precious than anyone else's, but it ties into what Danielle was saying, and that is, you know, sometimes the folks that are supposed to lift you up tear you down, and you can take those words and run with them, or you can take them and use them as fuel or fodder for your fire and drive your ship. That's
my thought. Right. And see, you were one side of the coin. You got that other kid. That's the other side of the coin. He ends up going out there and, you know, being a menace to society. So it can go either way, you know.
Yeah, you got to have that positive influence.
Either way.
You got to have a positive influence in your house. You need a positive influence. For one, someone that helps you, that helps build you up, as what our guest was saying, you know, as you can build someone up, you can tear them down too. Your words play as a double-edged sword. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful because once those words are said, whether good words or bad words, once those words are said, you cannot take them back. You can't take them back. It's impossible. I mean, you can say, you know, I'm sorry, or, you know, I didn't even say it like that. That's why it's important to think before you speak.
Okay.
You
know,
it's very
able to take them back. Patrice, I want you to address it. I need to take a quick break here, but I want you to address it when we come back because I have something I want to ask you. Okay, so briefly here, I want to say that support in part for it comes from Stephan Olive. They have some very good olives. They have blue cheese, almond stuff, jalapeno stuff. They have 18-year-old balsamic vinegars. They have olive oils from Italy, California, Spain. They're good products. So if you go to StephanOlives.com, it's www.StephanOlives.com, order some of their amazing products. If you order something over $100 for your order, send an email to Bob@StephanOlives.com with the promo code of radio. He's going to give you something from your choice of whatever it is completely free. That's Bob@StephanOlives.com. Okay, so, Patrice, getting back to your point, saying that you can't take it back, there are two specific instances in my life where I said something that I wished, oh, my gosh, I wish I could take it back, but I can't. So what's your take on that? Where do you go from there?
I mean, it's just you want to think before you speak it, you know what I mean? Because once it's said, it's hard to get back. And, like, when people are angry, they speak from their feeling. They don't speak from their mind. They speak from what they're feeling. They don't really mean that half the time. And, I mean, of course, I'm guilty of it too, you know, so I try my best to think before I speak. Was that something polite that I should say? Would that hurt that person's feelings? And most of the time when a person speaks from anger, they don't hear what they say. Half the time they're trying to get back at you anyway. But it's better.
You know, that's a great point that you speak about anger, because I remember, and I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Ambrose Bierce. He said, "Speak when you're angry, and you will make the best speech that you will ever regret." I thought that was awesome because I made two or three of those speeches when I was angry, and oh man, did the words flow! I was able to wax lyrical, and the moment I finished, I realized, like, whoops. I probably shouldn't have said that or gone down that path because my mind wasn't left to speak those words, to speak the proper words. So I picked improper words, and the damage was done. And when damage is done, you can apologize until you're blue in the face, but you said it. And that's
Well, James, what about libel and defamation? You know, when you tell that one lie, oh, the school teacher molested me. And he goes to jail. He loses his job. He loses his pension. He loses his wife. And then it's proven that the girl lied. You know, but his life is ruined. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
his life is ruined. You can't take it back.
I agree with you. I agree. And because we have such a litigious society, it's very easy when something like that comes up rather than investigate. Even if you don't investigate, once it's said, it's out there. it doesn't
it's
really matter.
There.
It's out there. Once you accuse someone of something, those words never really, I mean, someone could be as innocent as innocent could be. But if one kid, one person, one child, one man says the wrong thing and it falls on, we'll say for sake of lack of a better word, the right ears, it's a done deal. And I'll tell you something else has changed now. It's not just about words that we say anymore. Now we have, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all the different ways that we communicate.
Yeah.
You put stuff out there now, and even if you go out there and delete it, guess what? It's still there. It's, somebody has it somewhere.
That's why I don't comment on those. I look, and that's it. I say nothing.
that's interesting because I found myself commenting on a couple of them this year, with a couple really interesting scenarios of folks taking a very harsh perspective on someone who was brutalized. And I thought from my lens, they were out of line. And it's not my job to save the world by any means, but it was on my news feed, and I thought, I can't let that go unchecked with those types of words out there. If someone has to say something. And that was my take on it. Because I think sometimes, too, people in the world now with all these different modes of communication and various media, they'll say stuff because, okay, first off, they don't think you'll challenge them. And second off, behind your computer screen, on your phone, you can say whatever you have, whatever you want to someone, because you don't have to see their face. But what you say to me in an email is different than what you'd say to me face to face. And I worked with a lady like that. On email, she would just talk a mess of garbage, and you'd walk over to her office like, "Hey, you know, what's the issue here? Why did you state X, Y, and Z?" "Well, I never said that." I said, "Well, that's funny because I just printed out from your email exactly what." "Oh, that wasn't. I didn't say that." I'm like, "How dare you look me in my face?" You know, she would use her words like she'd go back and forth with you in an email. Then once it got heated, she'd start blind carbon copying the president of the company. And I thought, "Oh, that's interesting." You know, and that was her MO. That's how she used her words. She was very
She was a classic example of throw the stone and hide your hand.
You're right.
She would throw the stone. And stand up and say, "Yeah, I did it." She throw the stone and say, "I didn't do it." And I can't stand people like that. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. And I'm 5 feet tall, and I'm going to stand my ground. I said it, and this is why I said it.
It is what it is. Yeah, you know. But like you said, Jane, a person can be so tough behind a computer, behind a keyboard. Mm-hmm. But when you see me in person, it's something totally different. But what makes you tough behind that screen? You know, knowing that I may see you again or whatever. You know, don't be so tough behind a computer screen. People kill me like that.
That's a good point. Yeah. Internet thugs.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good name for them because, you know, it's funny to me to see how folks do that. They get behind a computer where they're safe, unquote. And they'll say anything, everything. But if you bumped into that person in the street, there's no way in the world they would say that type of thing to you or direct anything like that at you for fear of retribution or just being heard. Just kind of interesting. Folks, we appreciate you listening in this week. Danielle, we appreciate you calling in and sharing your perspective with us. That was very powerful. And, you know, listen for us tonight on RadioPhoenix.org. You can go out to Live365 and link up with us. You can go out to RadioPhoenix.org site and link up with us. And then also you can get us through Patrice, what is our third one? It is
www.RadioPhoenix.org to hear more. Or you can go to TuneIn.com. There we go.
Yeah, tune in. That's what it was. Yes, I had a brain last time. You can also email us on onpointphx@gmail.com. It's been a great show. Lift your glasses. Remember, every thought that you have is grand. Every idea is warranted. For every step you take, every move you make, may it always be
on point.
See you tonight, everyone. See you next week.
All right. See you tonight. You guys have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.